Now, Tim asked me, he said, so Tracy, does she have a personality? Is she going to be okay if we choose a bit of a funny, cheeky song? I said, I think she'll be deeply wounded and offended and traumatized for life. So he picked this song.
I love it. It's perfect.
Well, we are streaming live on the Facebook, kids. No, is that what it's called? Yeah,
Facebook. Sure, Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook streaming live.
The Facebook.
There's Tracy waving at everyone. And let me get through this incredible bio. I'm going to have some stop points because I have so many questions. But a website you want to check out is Unstoppable Tracy, no E, unstoppabletracy.com. The first thing we've got to talk about is RoboCop. I mean... You had me at RoboCop.
I had you at RoboCop right then and there.
Yeah.
It was the one with Michael Keaton. And they literally paid me for 8 hours work, and I was on the show about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And poor Michael Keaton, he walks through this phys ed room, exercise room, where there's all these recovering amputees, and he's walking into this secret back room where Gary Oldman is sitting.
Yeah.
And they just kept having him walk through. And my job is to walk past the door that he's going to open where Gary Oldman is. And so I walk past the door and Michael Keaton walks in the door. And they had us do that for 8 hours.
No, I know, it's
no
crazy,
lines,
isn't it?
Yeah. Nothing, yeah. Right? And I got $750 for the day.
I know.
As a subject matter expert, because I was an amputee.
Can I tell you about my little movie experience?
Yes.
I was in a movie called Welcome to Mooseport.
Mooseport. There
filmed
you
go. In Port Perry, Ontario, with Gene Hackman and Ray Romano. And I was a moose wrangler.
Wow.
My job was to stand there looking large and wide so that Debbie the moose didn't bolt down the middle of Port Perry Street, downtown Main Street, or whatever it is. That was it. I just stood there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let me tell you, folks, he does look large, but not so wide. Just muscular wide.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And a lot like a moose.
Yes. Very. Just like a moose wrangler.
Tim, can you go fix our screen? It's like an antique house. We're leaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a... I'm a little crooked, too, so maybe that's
what
funny.
It is. That's funny. That's what it is. But look at Tim. He's got a busted-up wing as well.
Well, that was really nice of you to join the party, Tim.
Let's bring it down a little bit so we can...
come to our level. We're
come
little
to our level.
Coming down.
Maybe Tucker will come in the shot as well, Tucker the Wonder Dog. Okay, so here's the deal. Unstoppable Tracy is an international speaker based out of Toronto who has shared the stage with Jane Fonda, John Travolta, Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg. So these would be at various speaking gigs, and they would be the headliner, and you'd be the warm-up act or something like that?
That's right.
You are the winner of the 2017 Robert W. Jackson Award. What is that?
That the Canadian Paralympic Committee, mm-hmm. Robert W. Jackson is the man that founded the Canadian Paralympics in the 60s. And so they were looking for difference makers across multiple sports for people with disabilities and just expanding sport possibility for people with disabilities. So that's what I was awarded from the Canadian Paralympic Committee.
La-di-da.
La-di-da.
2017 Ontario Premier Awards, assuming for the same kind of stuff.
That was actually for humanitarian work in Uganda and Nepal and Jamaica.
Dude, I'm exhausted just listening to your bio. This is ridiculous. 2017 CSSIL Lifetime Achievement Awards, as opposed to Cecil B. DeMille.
Right.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Right. Ooh,
2018 Women of Essence Global Award nominee and has seen a CBC, City TV, Global News, NBC, Fox, and globally around the world. Oprah Magazine shared her story as quest for the gold World Cup sailor.
Yeah.
Who climbed Himalayan mountains, captain 110-foot tall ship, you won paraskiing bronze. And apparently you're funny?
What?
That's the part of the bio I just want to stop.
Yeah, right there.
Right there.
The part that I don't understand.
I don't get that. What? Yeah. Funny.
I don't have a leg to stand on.
Stop it. We've already made all the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Can I give you a hand?
Yeah.
As an award-winning leader in business and in sports, she has now earned the title number one international speaker. Holy dooly. Honored humanitarian, authority advocate, decorated athlete who delivers the limb... Itless secret. Now she adds best-selling author to her long list of amazing accomplishments. Cup of Chicken Soup for the Soul endorsed her book Unstoppable You, Exceed Uncertainty, embrace possibilities, earn independence. What's your mantra? Your mantra?
If I can do it, even the moose can do it.
For some reason, I just flash back to an Archie comic. Wasn't there the bully and the moose? Wasn't that his name?
Yeah. You're no bully. Maybe sometimes.
Trust me.
All right. What happened? What's wrong with you? Where did your limbs go?
Let's get
into it.
Right? Come on. I wish that there was an exciting story, like some train or plane or automobile. Yeah. Like it feels like that movie coming up. But it is completely boring.
You were born this way.
I was born
this way. Yeah, you should have played that one.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Born this way. I really love that song. She's Got Legs. I think that was great.
Why were you... We are jerks.
Oh, I loved it.
Was that or Boots Are Made for Walking? One of the two.
Why were you born this way? I wasn't born this way. Why were you born? I mean, that way. What happened?
Doctors are asking the same question.
Really?
Yeah, they don't know either. It's just a fluke. And my mom, who's British and Liverpoolian, she says
What happened to her?
She is Liverpoolian. She's from Liverpool, where the Beatles are from.
They call that
Liverpoolian. And there's some tough love crowd in Liverpool after the war and all the strikes. And so they have like a dark sense of humor and sarcasm.
Don't be crying. Get off your...
There's no crying in Liverpool.
There's no crying in Liverpool. You got my mom to a T. You figured her out right off the bat. And so she says, I'm a fluke in more ways than one. And that's what it is. I'm just a fluke. No one else in my family are missing their limbs. They have no idea why I was born this way. They just didn't grow.
Now, listen, if you want to... Oh, this is weird. This is not going to sound right.
Is he going to be?
If you want to see what she looks like, go to Facebook streaming. Go to our Facebook Live. If you want to see... Okay, hold up your right hand. All right, so your right hand, for those who aren't checking things out on Facebook Live, you have a thumb.
It looks like a thumb,
but it's not a thumb.
It's actually your pointing finger and your swear finger together. They just didn't grow apart. And
so it's like a
really thick pointing finger.
Okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then your wrist is narrow and goes down to your elbow. And then from your elbow up am I allowed to say the word normal? Is that it?
You already did.
Yeah, too late. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear what he said?
What a jerk.
What? Some people.
I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, your other hand. Let's get away from this place. Your other hand. Arm goes to your elbow. No, is that
just
your,
above
just,
elbow?
Just above elbow.
Yep.
And it's thin, so there's no real bicep or tricep there, right?
Although there's some decent little muscle there.
Yeah?
I make the most of that bit of muscle.
You got a gun.
Yeah, she's incredible. Show it again.
Either Tim is having a stroke or that's his Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I like it. My dad was German, and so you sounded a lot like my dad just then.
Wow.
Now, this is the weird part because you have a dress on and you have, what are those called again?
Artificial legs.
Artificial legs. No, isn't there prosthetics?
Prosthetics.
Prosthetics. Sometimes I go with thighs of steel, either or.
Thighs of steel. Suzanne Summer calls. Suzanne Summer.
I had a summer of working out with that, but it didn't work so well.
When was she?
With Suzanne or
buns
with her?
Buns of steel.
When was Suzanne a guest? Was it last year? When she was on the show?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're kidding.
She's funny. And she's got that same, you know,
cheeky,
determined spirit that you have.
Oh,
maybe,
right?
She's Liverpudlian.
Maybe she's Liverpudlian.
Maybe.
So where do your legs go to?
To just above my knees.
Just above your knees.
Yes.
Okay. And both, they're the same?
They're both pretty much exactly the same, just above knee. But I'm not lifting my knees up on
there.
No,
that's not happening. No. Who was the guy we had on? He's huge on YouTube, and he has no legs and no arms.
Could it be Nick Vujicic?
Yeah,
yes.
That's him. Yeah.
Yes, he was a guest a while back.
Incredible. So his thing is no arms, no legs, no worries, because he's Australian.
He's Australian.
Australian. I was going to do no arms, no legs, no worries, or no problem, but then it was too close to Nick.
Yeah. Can I just say, I don't think he has a sense of humor. I find your cheekiness far more refreshing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
So when you're a kid, kids are vicious.
Yes.
Was that your experience? Were kids like relentless with you, picking on you, bullying, or no?
No. And I know that 99% of people in my world with physical disabilities or other disabilities, invisible disabilities, have that. And I was just so lucky that that was not my experience. And I think it's just because of the street I grew up on. You know, we all grew up together, and most people didn't have family in Canada. And so we were each other's family. And so we felt like cousins. And so by the time we went to kindergarten, I had this posse of cousin-like friends.
And so it was like your own little biker gang that had your back.
Yep, right from day one.
Did anybody try to mess with you, and then they kind of pounced on him and pounded him?
You know what I found out a gazillion years later, like in my 30s? I realized that we had a semi-detached house, and my immediate neighbor was the school bully.
What?
He was. But he loved me like a brother, right? He was amazing.
That's so
he was a superstar. And so I found out that sometimes he'd get in trouble in school for fighting, but he would just be like, well, they said something about Tracy. And
oh, that was his
and that
his
was
out.
His backup is out. And so they couldn't really get him in trouble for it.
That's good.
People were probably afraid to bully me because I had the right ally in my back pocket.
Why are you so stinking shiny? Seriously. Aww. No, really, what is... I mean, we know that your mom was part of the equation. By the way, is your mom still with us today?
She is still with us today.
And she was there to make sure you didn't wallow in misery and feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah, there was no room for that.
No. But that's only one part of the equation. You could sit around and go and just be kind of staunch about things and, oh, well, that's just who I am, blah-de-blah. Blah.
Yeah.
But no, you've got this light that is just leaking out of you.
Aww.
No, I'm not trying to be nice. I'm just saying you...
don't call me nice, gosh darn it all.
I'm wondering where that comes from.
Yeah.
And is it actually connected to the fact that you are a... What's the term? What term do I... What are you?
I call myself a four... Well, I could give you all sort of fancy
things,
names.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hot, I'm sexy, I'm single, you know, all of these things. But
yes.
I'm also a four-way amputee.
Okay. So does the four-way amputee have any... Is there any correlation between that and the light that leaks out of you? Or would that light have been there anyway?
I think it's a massive part of who I am.
Okay.
And and I'm not a hero like you were talking about in... Is it defined by... Is it because you have a disability?
Right.
I was just a kid on the front lawn that wants to go play.
Yeah.
And I'm on my lawn and the other kids are on the lawn over there. And so if that meant that I had to... roll down my lawn and jump on a skateboard to scoot over and roll up their lawn to play with them. I'm just a kid that wants to go play.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not being a hero. I'm just a kid that wants to go play. But I was lucky enough at a really young age that I had to learn to do whatever it takes to go play. And so instead of being mollycoddled and someone ties your shoelaces tied for you, and then even as adults or teenagers where we think maybe we're entitled or something, I had to do whatever it took to go play because those kids aren't going to come to my lawn, right? I had to get to them.
Yeah.
And so that was just my way of being. And so I think by virtue of being born a four-way amputee, I had the bonus of I got to do whatever it takes to be part of those kids playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who I am.
What do you think is different about the world from your point of view, being a four-way amputee, from the time you were a kid to now? Do you think that the world around us, obviously we're not talking about the entire world, but just, you know, where our culture, do you think we're more accepting or less accepting? Do you think we're more starry or less starry? Do you think we're more cynical? And how does that play into who you are and what you look like? Do you notice a difference, a major difference? And maybe there's just, not really. We're kind of the same. What's the difference between when you were a kid to now?
And even where I am. Like Canada, I just came back from 11 countries. And it was very different in those 11 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, 22 days, 33 cities and 22 days. And I wasn't like when I was in Nepal, it was different. Uganda was different. But when I was in Europe, Hungary, England, Wales, you know, Budapest to Germany to Zurich, it was very, those 11 countries were much more starry and noticing than I ever experienced in Canada.
Well, yeah.
And so it's funny because they're not third world, right?
No, but there are some, you know, here's the thing. This is where religion kind of plays into a lot of this as well. There are some countries where people would look at you, and because of the religious system in that country, you are an outcast.
Yeah.
And literally, children that look like you have been thrown on garbage dumps, thrown away when they were born.
Yeah.
Tim, you're...
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of it has to do as well with exposure and experience.
Yeah.
You know, I work at a school, a traditional, I'd say a regular school, but we're integrated with a special needs school.
Yep.
So my students see the other students all the time. So for them, it's kind of like...
nothing.
Yeah. I think that has a bit to play with it, too. If you're not exposed to it, if it's not sort of tried to make normalize, you know, to normalize something, then I think people do struggle with it. Now, you said that in Europe, you got a lot of stares. What about the quote-unquote, you know, developing countries that you went to? Did you have people staring at you in Uganda, or was it more in Europe?
That's because she's hot. That's
going to have a character. Because you're very white kind, as well. Because my skirt was a little short. So I know.
I just need to hijack this conversation and look over to the millennial-ish female in the room. Yeah. I've been told by people like you. I've been told by people like you that an old creepy guy like me should not say that a female is hot. Is that a gross? Am I icky for saying that?
You're a dude. You're gonna say it.
I'm a dude. No, but is it grungy?
It depends on how you come about it and who you are and who you're
okay.
talking to.
All right.
I loved it.
On the street walking, you're like, hey man, like, hey girl, you're. Yeah, I'm gonna call the police.
Okay.
Hold on. Right.
I don't know if anybody heard that, but I've just been told that. Okay.
We should call the police anyway, Amy.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Let's.
But on this track about whether there's exposure or not, or whether in Europe and why were they staring or compared to a third world country? Well, you know, in Uganda where there's all sorts of war, there's all sorts of amputees, so there wasn't the same staring. But then when I was in Nepal, where most people with disabilities die off because they don't have the resources, I had people following me around everywhere, in the shower and when I was sleeping, and like it was, I had zero every time I went to the washroom. Like I had all the places where you think you would get honored privacy, I had none. But I also was invited into Buddhist temples and had all sorts of opportunities because, you know, they believe, well, if I'm this happy without my arms and my legs, I must be on my last life. And so, therefore, I'm super, you know, evolved in their world of nirvana.
Yeah.
And normally, someone's born with a disability, they're paying the cost for something they've done wrong the previous life. Mm-hmm. But whereas I'm being, they're like, you've got it. You got nirvana. And really, all I'm doing is trying to eat my lunch. And so... But I got
Nirvana at McDonald's.
At McDonald's, yeah. Nirvana, well, there was no McDonald's there. Right. But what's interesting is, so in Europe, I didn't see a lot of people with disabilities because there's so many stairs and it's such an ancient culture that there isn't the same accessibility. So is that why maybe people were staring more there? Mm-hmm. But in Canada, you know, my high school friends and my elementary school friends, they didn't see a disability. They almost don't get it. It's only now, and people coming back in my life, they're like, you know what? I completely forgot that you're a four-way amputee. And, and friends that are with me forget. Like, they'll go up a flight of stairs and then they'll be talking to me and I won't be beside them anymore. And then they'll turn around and they'll laugh because they forgot me at the bottom of the stairs, right? They're like, oh, I forgot. And that happened in Nepal, right? I was walking along and without my legs, I left my legs in Kathmandu. Didn't bring them with me.
Okay, that's a song.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
There must be one somewhere.
I left my legs in Kathmandu.
Woo, woo, woo.
Okay, yes. Don't let us hijack your story.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And this farmer, this hay bale, was walking at me and it... He threw the hay bale down. It was like 10 times his size, spindly little legs. I'm like in awe of him. He's in awe of me. And he points to me, and I'm with a Nepalese student, and she translates for me. And he says, if this one looks like that, what did the rest of them look like? Right? And it sounds terrible.
White people.
Right? Oh terrible. Right. That must be what he meant.
Yeah.
But one of the Nepalese porters that were with us, he said, one of them doesn't have a head.
Oh, that's funny. That is really funny. Oh, keep jumping.
But to your point about who you're exposed with, so for 9 days in a country with no legislation, no technology, and a lot of people with disabilities dying off, thrown in a garbage, not given food because there's not enough to go around, after 9 days of trekking with me, he realized what a silly question that was, and he could make a joke.
Good.
So if they could make a joke in Nepal with that kind of extreme difference...
Yeah.
They could make a joke and get to terms anywhere in the world. We just got to get people out and about together.
Unstoppable Tracy, a four-way amputee. The website is unstoppabletracy.com. Amputee would suggest that limbs were cut off, but They were cut off because they were, what was wrong with them? Why were they cut off?
So amputee is actually a big tease of a word, you know?
It doesn't actually mean?
It doesn't mean amputated. I say congenital, four-way congenital amputee, meaning it was born this way. So the limbs just never grew.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. We are in the studio, live, on the Drew Marshall Show, and Unstoppable Tracy is here with us. You ready?
Ready. Oh.
When I phoned you, let's pretend, let's play this through. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, Unstoppable Tracy here.
And I laughed.
Is that okay?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So my question is, it's like Mike Pinball Clemens. Same thing I asked him. Dude, there's no way you're like this all the time. Tell me about your darkness. Because it's the brightness that irritates me. I'm attracted to people's garbage, to the when they're just down in the sludge of things. So obviously you're not like this all the time. What gets you down?
So I just told you about that big European tour, right? In 33 cities, 22 days, and you know who I am is not just four-way amputee Tracy, right?
Exactly.
I've busted Uber into Canada, and I've busted strikes with Air Canada, and I supported Canadian Airlines with a merger, and Shoppers Drug Mart with pharmaceutical reform. I've got an MBA, right? I've done and climbed the Himalayas and World Cup regattas with 27 able-bodied men and 3 women, right? And I was one of them. And so that's pretty cool, even if you had your arms and legs.
Yeah.
So, right? Like, that's okay. It's enough. It's enough. It's fine. And all this time I'm trying to prove, like, I can do it. I can do it. And I'm almost proving it to myself and out to the world. And I do this big 33 cities. And then I sit down and I'm like last place. And then somebody just pats me on the head. And I get pat on the head a lot. You know?
What do you mean? Like literally
pat
you on the
head? People pat me on the head. And if I've got my legs off and I'm in a chair, they pat me on the head all the time. And so when my legs are on, my guard is down. I'm not expecting it to happen. But it happens. And you know why it happened? Because that day I had my legs on, but I was sitting in a chair. And so but it surprised me. I wasn't thinking of it because I had my legs on.
You saying is that something that puts you in a downward spin you just kind of meh, is when people treat you a little condescendingly.
Yes. And it happens.
Oh, you little, poor little you.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Or will they admire me? Like I can be drinking a cup of tea in Tim Hortons. And people will like, I'm just standing there. I don't know them. I'm not doing a radio show. They don't know I'm Unstoppable Tracy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're off in a corner, and they're like, oh, isn't she inspiring? Isn't she amazing? Oh, she's my hero. And they don't even know my name, right? I'm just holding a cup of tea standing there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, or when I'm ordering the tea, like a lot of time, I'll say, can I have an extra large steeped tea? That's my thing. I like my steeped tea. And then they don't ask me, what do I want in it? They ask the stranger behind me, what does she want?
No.
And they don't even know me, right?
So people don't know what to do or say or react. Like, we've talked about this numerous times on the show, especially in funeral lines. Like the dumbest things are said in funeral lines.
They sure are, yeah.
Tell us about, you and I chatted briefly about this on the phone. It's a good time to bring this up. Tell us about the agenda of evangelical Christians who have come up to you, because that thing is still spinning around in my head. Set this up for our listeners, because we've discussed this, but go for it.
So as a kid, I went to Sunday school. I believed in God and accepted Jesus into my heart. And then you go out into the world as a teenager and you start hitting the shopping mall to hang out with your friends. And what I get when I go to shopping malls, particularly shopping malls, but I get it on the street too, and I get it all around the world. It doesn't matter. It's not just Canada. I particularly get it in the U.S. but everywhere, especially shopping malls, people come up to me and sometimes they're crying and sometimes – and what they do and what they say is, you know, God made you that way for a reason. God loves you. You know, and some want to even pray with me to grow my arms and legs back.
Oh my goodness.
But most of the time, it's like 30% of the time they want to help me grow my arms and legs back. Like I want them back. Like my life is exactly the way I need it to be.
That's why God didn't heal you, because you don't want them.
I don't want them back. But also, you know, the need to reach out to tell me. Like, I am just checking out those, you know, in the 80s, the Roadrunner jeans in the window. So I'm not even thinking about being a four-way amputee when they come to say, God made you that way. Like, I need some kind of encouragement. And that's still now in my 20s, my 30s, and now my 40s. Mm-hmm. Still, people want to reach out to me evangelistically. And so what that did to me was it really shut me down to all anything religious, right? It made me sort of anti-evangelism because it was just always, and still is, really put on me.
Yeah, because you can smell the agenda a mile away.
Yeah.
And it's not led by love. They're not, I'm sorry, but I'm just, this one really bugs me.
I think they did it. I do think they did it lovingly. I think they had a positive intention.
No.
It wasn't what I wanted.
No. You can say all the nice stuff you want. Let me take over this one.
Yeah.
That's crap.
Really?
That is just shut up. And
that's what I want them to be like. Oh, I want them to see what you see. But you don't think they did it with a positive intent.
I think that there's a bunch of ignorant people walking around thinking that they're believing what their church is telling them, which is you have to go out into the world and sell Jesus, and the easiest sale for you, that's what salesmen do. They try to find the easy sale is, that person over there with a visible something, a deformity
they must be missing ailment something or in
missing,
their life.
You know, there's something missing, Jesus. And that I'm going to sell Jesus to them right there. That's a mark.
Yeah.
That's all you were. You were a mark.
Yes.
So led with love? No. Mm-hmm. Led with love is... Why are you talking? Why don't you talk to 37 other people in the mall?
Yeah.
Why are you specifically talking to this woman here? Now, it might be just because you're pretty, but we'll see.
Could be. I noticed you didn't say hot. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amy's teaching us.
No, please do go back to hot. It totally works for me.
Our new intern, Amy, she just said she's proud of me.
Cheeky.
What? Oh, I don't know if I should. Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Here he goes.
How has this impacted your relationship world, your love life, your dating, you just said you're single. I don't know if you've been single your whole life. Because to me, that's the question that I think many people think of, but they don't want to ask. And I'm glad they don't ask, because that's as irritating as going up to you in the mall saying you need Jesus or something just because, you're a four-way amputee.
Yeah.
But I do wonder about... Yeah, the relationship side of things, because we are a very shallow and visible world.
Yeah.
And people, people think like if you don't have a partner, then you're not fulfilled. I mean, that's
there's
a big part
too.
Of it too.
Sure.
There is that too.
Yeah. So what's it been like for you? Let me just keep rattling on awkwardly here.
It's kind of fun to watch and stumble, right?
No, because I have been a loser for most of my life.
No.
Tim, do you agree?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking me not to say anything. Yeah. I was going to say
hold back the most of Peter your life. Gallery.
So the dating thing or whatever and all that stuff. Oh man, So I look at you and think, wow, what a beautiful woman, and you've done all these amazing things, and. Okay, you have the four-way thing going on here.
Yeah.
So what is... I don't even know anymore what the question is.
Well, all the other parts are real.
Yeah. No, that's not what I... Oh, that was great. What a great answer. Holy, shut me down in a heartbeat.
You're lost.
No, I'm trying to figure out the right way to word this.
Or I'll fill in some blanks and then you
our
keep
boys,
going.
Are boys scared of you?
Sure, yes.
I mean, if that's the
I'll
way,
go,
the
I'll
way
go.
You
well,
bat.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe the confident woman that I am today.
Yes. Does it bug you that I'm asking you about your dating life because you're four-way amputee? Or should it be more about the fact that you're intimidating to guys because you're a freaking rock star?
And I wonder, I like to believe that that's what's happening now and why I'm single now is that I'm a freaking rock star. That would be incredible. But in high school, I didn't go to the school dances wondering, are boys going to dance with me because I don't have arms and legs. Like, it really was a great space.
What a great school.
Like, what a great... But it's... I mean, you need to do the eye contact, right? As soon as I see, right from a little tiny age, if people are looking at me with panic, I know I've got to start that conversation and I got to flip it mm-hmm. before it goes anywhere. So right from very, very little, even before kindergarten, if somebody's giving me that look, I would be saying, hi, I'm Tracy, right? And trying to get them to,
Lighten up.
Yeah, lighten up. It's okay. She's not scary. And
don't you get tired of the onus always being on you to make someone else feel comfortable?
There is. That happens. You know, and I think that's what happened when that lady on that last day of the 22 days patted me on the head. I was really done. And I'm almost always, I lose some friends because they wonder, are you really this happy and this upbeat? And that it is my way of being an awful lot, because who you focus on and what you focus on grows, right? And so I remember even losing a job that was incredible and being super sad in the parking lot. And I had every right to be sad. That job was over and it was fabulous. But my go-to at that point was, you know, if I drive home like this, there's going to be a light pole that's going to fall on top of me or something. Like, I'm afraid of feeling that sad or afraid, because when I'm in that angry, sad, or afraid space, I feel like that happens to me. I attract that and more of that. And so it's like, I got to think of something positive and I got to turn it around. And I was thinking of my niece and my nephew, and I love them, but I was still disappointed about losing the job. And so then what picks me up? And it was sailing. And so I immediately Googled right there in that parking lot a sailing regatta, because October there was no sailing in Toronto, no skiing in Toronto, and there was one in San Diego. So I got myself on a plane to San Diego at 5:30 that night to go to a sailing regatta, and it was incredible, right? And so I do really focus on and put an intention to not being frustrated. But in terms of boys in high school, like, I naively didn't think. I went to the school dances and I danced at school, and I had boys kiss me at school in high school, and played the same old kissing tag in elementary school.
Can I just say, let's just get weird here a little bit. The first kiss I ever had was in kindergarten behind the coat rack.
Oh.
And it was a red-haired girl.
Oh.
Oh.
What school did you go to?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You didn't notice anything missing.
Yeah.
Your confessions here.
No. In your eyes.
Yeah.
No.
I do know that I threw up in the sandbox afterwards.
Oh,
but
with nerves?
Yes, I don't know what it was. But, you know, yeah. No, connection. I'm looking at you going, oh, that was. So, okay, let's put the pitch out, right? You didn't ask me to do this. I'm just doing this.
Oh.
Why would somebody want to hire you to speak?
Well, you see, who knows? I mean, I can't imagine.
What would be your top one or two grab 'em points?
So, you know, often there's change, right? And change is inevitable. And so a corporation is hoping that people just embrace it and roll with it because it's happening anyway. And so when they bring me in, people are left with no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what kind of funding is there, what kind of staffing is there, and the way things were. And they see me, who skis and sails and mountain climbs, and I skydive and I scuba dive and I kayak, and, you know, I busted up mergers and pharmaceutical reforms and all sorts of pilot strikes, right? So
you're starting to sound like, what's that character Julia Roberts played when she busted up the bad water people?
Aaron Brockovich.
What is it?
Aaron Brockovich. Yeah, that's me. I'm the
only thing I busted was my knuckle.
Look
the other
at that.
Day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's about her now, not you.
Yeah,
sorry.
But now I want to know about
her. No, please don't ask.
Don't go there.
Do not ask. We want to hear that story again. One word, yoga.
Yoga. Okay, there you go.
It was
go.
A yoga so, accident.
So, Tracy.
So, I'm the no means no girl. No and O means K-N-O-W. They just don't know, right? Okay. And so, I share my stories of wiping out in trees with backwards ski boots on my thighs. And I talk about falling out of a boat because I'm top heavy with no legs. And I end up being in World Cup regattas with able-bodied men. Like, not just the para trials, but World Cup regattas, Olympic class regattas. And I started by falling out of a boat. And so all you do is you get back in that boat. So my aim is, through being funny and sharing stories, of disarming those limiting beliefs so that others can have their peak performance. And they don't feel like I'm pointing fingers anymore. They just walk away themselves feeling like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. I don't have any excuses.
Yeah.
And so that's why people bring me in to speak, to appreciate making a difference and appreciate the fact that just go for it.
Just before we say goodbye to you, UnstoppableTracy.com, I want people to know about the book.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, my life's journey, I started to allude to that, is it's been like, I can do it, Unstoppable Tracy. And I think the reason I've done so much adventure and travel and business is because I had something to prove, right? I can do it. And on my Paralympic journey, I found a man named Magnus Lidjedal, another big giant moose like you. And he was a Scandinavian big guy. And he was amazing. But when I got myself to him, I'm losing my thought. Oh, what I realized was, like, I jumped out of my car and I'm like, hi, I'm Tracy from Toronto and I want to pursue my Paralympic dream, right? And I was super excited and I expected him, I think, in my head to pick me up and twirl me around and maybe propose marriage and definitely help me get to my Paralympic dream.
Yeah.
And all he did was very quietly and calmly keep washing his boat and say, that's nice.
No.
Right? Like he didn't even say wax on, wax off. Yeah, well, that's what it felt like. It totally felt like that. And then I realized I wasn't speaking to his listening, right?
Yeah.
I was about my story. So I say to him, so I realize I don't say anything to him. I pick up a sponge and I start washing the boat, right? I realized I had to speak to his listening. Mm-hmm. And I washed his boats for like 3 months. And it was all at first about Unstoppable Tracy and my journey. But where it ended was that me and Magnus together took him out of a parking lot, which was called Shake a Leg, by the way. No word of a lie. Shake a Leg, Miami. And I got him out of that parking lot, and together we applied for grants and we got him officially recognized as an international Paralympic sports club. And Magnus ended up helping, like, the first, the second, the third, the fourth, all the people that were in the Paralympics. Magnus Lidjedal, who wouldn't even give me the time of day at first, he supported all the people in London 2012 and all the people in Rio 2018. He touched every single one of the boats that ended up being a part of those regattas in sailing world, in races. And so it stopped being Unstoppable Tracy. It was more about Unstoppable You and You and You, like Unstoppable World. And so that's my book, is how through my story, I ask you questions. What's working for you? What's not? What are you going to do going forward? And that's what my book does.
Nice. Unstoppable You. Exceed uncertainty. Embrace possibilities. Earn independence. You are...
Really cool.
Aww.
Yeah, and that's not quite what I was going to say.
And he's stuck because he doesn't want to say hot, right?
Yeah. No.
It's pronounced.
What I'm trying to say is you're like one of those irritating stones in the shoe.
Yeah. I can describe
Or an oyster.
And then you take it. Okay, can I just... And then you take the shoe. You just can't. You're the kind of person that just gets under the skin a little bit. And then next thing you know, whoever you've irritated starts to leak as much sunshine as you.
Yes.
How's that? Huh? Did I recover nicely?
That was good. I was going to go for the whole irritating thing and the oyster it turns into a pearl.
Yeah.
Same thing.
All right.
A hot pearl.
That is. Oh, dear, stop it. Andy, will you slap him, please?